Welcome to Hebrew Club at Concordia Seminary. We've been reading through the narrative in 1 Samuel 15, where Saul is charged by the prophet Samuel and God to go down and to annihilate the Amalekites. The Amalekites were the ones who had stood in the way of Israel when they were coming up out of Egypt, and God had pronounced his judgment on them at that time, and now he's going to fulfill it. So Saul went down, but was not obedient to God's command to completely devote them to destruction. So Samuel goes to seek him out, asks him, "What's the sound of sheep and cattle that I hear?" Because instead of killing all of the possessions of the Amalekites, they had kept the good stuff for themselves. Saul explains it as the people's doing. He doesn't take responsibility for it himself. At first, he says the people kept it, but they kept it, Samuel, to sacrifice. They kept these animals to sacrifice to Yahweh, your God. And Samuel responds with this famous, these famous lines in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 15 that... Is God pleased with whole burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as with obeying his word? And he says that hearing and obeying is better than sacrifices, and that rebellion itself is false worship. It's like idol worship. And this finally seems to make some impact on Saul. Saul begins to realize the severity of his disobedience here. And in verse 24, we concluded last time, and Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned." So he does confess his guilt and his sin, although as someone pointed out at the end last time, it is sort of a half confession still, because even though he says katati there in verse 24, "I have sinned," and he says ki avarti et pi Yahweh, "for I have transgressed the command of Yahweh," or the declaration of Yahweh. He also explains himself still by saying, "because I was afraid of the people, and so I listened to their voice." So on the one hand, he's still pointing to the people as the problem here, although this idea of "I listened to their voice" is such a major theme throughout the scriptures. Someone I think mentioned last time, this was Aaron's excuse with the golden calf. "I listened to the voice of the people." This is what happened in the garden, right? Listening to the wrong voice. And God even comes and says, "Why did you listen to the voice of your wife and eat from the fruit of the tree that I told you not to eat from?" So that brings us up to verse 25 today. "V'ata sana et katati v'shuv imi v'esh takaveth la Yahweh." This is Saul speaking now. He's been explaining back in the previous verse his sin, as we were just talking about, and now he says this is what he wants from Samuel. So Saul says to Samuel, "and now sa na." What verb is sa from?
Nasa.
From Nasa. It's a first nun. Remember, these first nun and first yod verbs lose their first letter in the imperatives. So when you have these short little two-letter verbal forms, oftentimes that's going to be an imperative of a first nun or a first yod. Here from Nasa. Nasa normally means to lift up or to carry. But here the direct object of the verb, et katati, my sin. So here the sense is, bear my sin. It's an idiom for forgive. He's asking for Samuel to forgive him, or to pronounce God's forgiveness, perhaps. "And now, forgive, please, my sin. Vashuv in me, and return with me." Shuv is another imperative form there. "And return with me. V'esh takaveh." This notice is a simple vav, with a schwa under it rather than a patak, a simple vav plus the imperfect. And this is a very common construction. After an imperative, you'll oftentimes have simple vav plus the imperfect, which indicates intended result or a consequence of the action that's been requested in the imperative. So here, "return with me so that I may kava." This is that hishtafel form of kava. It means to bow down or to worship. "So that I may bow down la Yahweh," to Yahweh, "so that I may worship Yahweh." Any questions on verse 25? All right, 26. Vayomer Shemuel el Shaul, and Samuel said to Saul, Lo ashuv imach, I will not return with you, ki ma'afta et devar Yahweh, because, why won't I return with you? Ki, because you have ma'ast. This is just the call form of ma'as, which means to reject. For you have rejected direct object devar Yahweh, the word of Yahweh. Vayim asaka Yahweh mihyot melech al Yisrael. And Yahweh has rejected you. Notice it's the same verb here. You have this balance, and we're going to see this a number of times in this text where the pronouncement of judgment sets Saul's deed alongside the consequence using the same verb. So it's very apparent that the consequences are appropriate. Saul has rejected Yahweh's word, and Yahweh has rejected you. Notice the akah object suffix on the end there. Yahweh has rejected you, mihyot melech al Yisrael. Mihyot, what's the verbal root here? Haya. Do you remember what kind of a form we have with an oat ending? Yeah, it's the infinitive construct of a third hey verb. So this is min plus the infinitive construct from being king over Israel. And this perhaps is its... I wasn't real familiar with this kind of a construction, min plus the infinitive construct. And as best I could figure out, Arnold and Choi has a category for min, a privative min, to take something away or to be without. And usually it's translated without, but perhaps that's the use here, the sense with the infinitive construct. I've rejected you from being or away from being king over Israel. Any questions on 26? Verse 27 begins with a geminate verb, savav, which usually means to go around, but here in this context can also just mean to turn around, to wheel around, turn on the spot. Vayesov Shemuel, and Samuel turned, la leket. Here's another example of how infinitive constructs form. Some infinitive constructs, normally first yods, form by losing their first letter and adding a tav, an extra tav at the end. So this is from halak, which acts like a first yod. Leket is the infinitive construct. And we have the extra lamed on the front, which the infinitive construct often has. And here the sense is purpose. And Samuel turned to go, in order to go, by Yakazek, and he, the Hithil of Kazak, and he took hold of, or seized, and Kazak and the Hithil usually marks what is seized, or what is grasped, with the preposition bait. So the bait on Kanaf here just marks the direct object of the verb Kazak. And Samuel turned to go, and he seized Kanaf Me'ilo. Me'il is a robe, and Kanaf means wing or skirt. So a bird has a Kanaf, but robes also have, I guess the wings of the robe are the flowing parts. So I suppose either on the edges of the sleeves or down at the bottom of the garments, the hem, either one could be called a Kanaf. And he seized, the subject of the verb has changed here, notice. It's Saul doing the seizing, and you just have to get that from the context here. It's not indicated, which maybe is an indication that as the narrator's telling the story, this is quick stuff happening here. Just it happens very quickly, so he just leaves out the subjects. And he seized the skirt of his robe, or the hem of his robe, by Yikara. Now, this is not kara with an aleph on the end that you're used to seeing to call out or proclaim. This is to tear. And what conjugation is this? It's a nifal. How can you tell?
Dagesh.
Good. A dagesh in the first root letter tells you that a nifal nun has dropped out. Also, that kames underneath that dagesh in the kof is a big nifal clue. So, and it tore. This is an example of a nifal that's a true middle. Most of the time, even though the grammars will say that nifal is middle or passive, it seems like most of the time it gets a passive translation. But here it's not, and it was torn, or it became torn, or something like that. It's just, it tore. Grabbed it and it tore. And the agent is unspecified grammatically. And it tore. Verse 28, Vayomer Elav Shemuel, and Samuel said to him, Kara Yahweh, Yahweh has torn. Now it becomes a call, an active verb. Yahweh has torn, direct object. Mam Lakut Yisrael Me Aleka Hayom. Yahweh has torn the kingdom or the dominion of Israel from upon you, or oftentimes those compound prepositions with min just are translated as one preposition or the other. So here probably from. He has torn the kingdom of Israel from you, Hayom, today. Okay, notice again the balance of the two terms. You have torn, and now Yahweh has torn. This is a pretty good thinking on the spot by the prophet, right? Using as an object lesson something that just happens. This is like when you're in the middle of a sermon and all of a sudden there's a siren that goes past or something so loud that you can either ignore it or you can incorporate it. And Samuel incorporates it here. All right. And Samuel said, Yahweh has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today. U netana, and notice the ah on the end has the dot in it, the mapik. That is a sign that that's an object suffix, a third feminine singular object suffix, her. And he has given her, referring to the kingdom, the feminine word for kingdom, mam lakut. And he has given it le ra'eka, to your rea. Remember that word rea? It means fellow man or neighbor or companion. He has given it to your companion, the good one, hatov, mimeka, from you. This is that comparative min construction here, to your friend who is better than you, or probably friend is not the best translation in this context, to your fellow or your comrade who is better than you. Take a look at that verb natan there. What kind of a construction is this? You have the vav, no performative, so it's a perfect. It's vav plus the perfect. But the question is it a vav consecutive perfect? In which case we would generally translate it future. He has torn the kingdom away from you today, and he will give it to your comrade who's better than you. Or do we take it as a vav, a simple vav plus the perfect, where it continues as a perfect, and he has given it to your companion who's better than you? And how do you decide a question like that?
Flip a coin,
or better, context. If context will indicate one way or the other. Has David been anointed yet? Do you recall in the narrative of 1 Samuel? Has Samuel anointed David? That's going to come very quickly here. It's going to come very quickly in the next chapter. So it hasn't yet happened. So on the one hand, you could say he will give it. But on the other hand, in just a few verses ahead, Yahweh is going to say to Samuel, I've already chosen the man to be king. You go and anoint him. So there's this sense that even now, as Samuel is speaking for Yahweh, God already has in mind the man. In a sense, he's already given the kingdom to him. So you can take it either way, future or past tense. All right, any other questions on...
On the last word of the first line, what is that form? How is it different from Mamleka?
Yeah, it's just another noun form. It's the deal where you look at the root, malak, you go to BDB, you go through king, Melech, then you go through Malach, the noun to rule or reign, then there's four different or five different noun forms that all mean kingdom, reign, dominion, kingship. The most common, the one that you see maybe most commonly is Mamlakah, and this is just a synonym, another form. Malkut was another. There's just different ways, and they all have basically the same sense. It just, yes, it's a noun. It's a noun form of kingdom, kingship. Its normal form is Mamlakut, with a kamet under the lamed. And since it's a schwa here, that tells you that it's in construct. That's construct vowel reduction. So the kingship or the kingdom of Israel. All right, verse 29. Vagam, Samuel continues now his declaration of judgment here. Yahweh will, he's torn the kingdom away from you, and he has given it to your companion who's better from you. Vagam. And furthermore, and also, Netzach Yisrael lo yeshaker v'lo yenakim. Here, Netzach Yisrael is a construct chain, and it means, Netzach means glory or splendor. And it's a name for God here. The splendor of Israel, or the glory of Israel, will not, lo yeshaker, will not deal falsely. This is a PL of shaker. The imperfect here in this verb and the next verb indicates customary action or habitual action. So it's not only will not, but also just in general does not. For the and furthermore, the splendor of Israel, the glory of Israel, you could say will not deal falsely and will not nakam in the Nifal, will not change his mind. Or relent, but you can also say the glory of Israel customarily does not deal treacherously. He does not change his mind. And why does he say that? Why does he say that God doesn't change his mind? He explains, ki lo adam hu, for not a man is he, for he is not a man, or even you could say he is not man. La hinakim. What kind of a form is hinakim there? Yeah, this is tricky. It's one of these nifal forms that has a hey performative. The nifal imperatives and the nifal infinitives have a hey performative. So it's, again, the nifal of nakam, the infinitive construct. He's not a man with respect to changing his mind. Or possibly a lamed of result here, the infinitive construct with a lamed suggesting result. He's not a man so that he would change his mind. All right, verse 30. Vayomer katati. And he said, I have sinned. Saul finally now replies without any excuses. There's no more pointing to the people. It's just one word. And he said, Katati, I have sinned. He knows, you think he should know here? Everything has been pronounced against him here. He finally gets the point. I have sinned. And now, he says, except for I just lost my place. Where are we here? Oh, yeah. Vayomer Katati, I have sinned. Ata. Kavdeni or Kabadeni na neged zikne ami v'neged Yisrael. Now Kabadeni, notice the ani on the end is the first person object suffix, me. So what is Kabade? It's a PL. What's that? Yeah, to make weighty or to make important. The PL has the sense not to be weighty or important, but to make weighty or important, or probably better, treat as important or honor. So it's an imperative form here with the initial A vowel in the PL form there. Honor me, please, na, neged zikne ami, in front of or before the elders, the Zakein, before the elders of my people, and before Israel. Vashuv imi, and return with me, vahishtakaveti, and I will worship. This is the hishtafel perfect from kava. This is that one verb, kava, that comes in this form. Notice the T ending, so it's a first person perfect. And I will worship, or I will bow down, la Yahweh, to Yahweh Elohecha, your God. Again and again, Saul keeps calling him Yahweh, your God. Now, a good question for Seleska when he gets back next week. This is an interesting observation, I think. Notice here that you have him requesting him again to go with him. He says, return with me, or honor me before the people. Come with me, in other words, and by coming with me, honor me, return with me. And I will bow down. Notice it's Vav plus a perfect. And I will. Vav consecutive perfect. Whereas previously, if you look back to the end of verse 25, his first request was, return with me the Esh Takaveth. It's Vav consecutive, or actually simple Vav plus the imperfect. Now this first construction, simple Vav plus the imperfect, we said after an imperative is always, this is the standard way of suggesting results of what I say, return with me so that I may worship Yahweh. But here, he says return with me and I will worship Yahweh. And I almost wonder if that change there, he uses a Vav plus the perfect now instead of the imperfect, if it doesn't carry a bit of a note or possibly hint that he's bargaining here now with his allegiance to Yahweh. Return with me, and I will, suggesting, look, if you cut me loose, I'm cutting you and your God loose before the people here. I don't know. Or it may just have no significance whatsoever and be translated in exactly the same way as the Vav plus the imperfect. That's the other possibility, so we'll have to run that one by Dr. Seleska. All right, we'll do one more verse here. Verse 31. Vayashav Shemuel Akarei Shaul. And Saul returned from Shuv. And Saul returned after Saul, or following Saul, behind Saul. Vayish Taku Shaul La Yahweh. And Saul bowed down to Yahweh. That vayishtaku, the root here is kava, just the last two letters. And the hey has dropped off in this form, since it's a vav consecutive of a third hey. The hey drops off, and what happens then is all you're left with is the kate and the vav on the end. And so the vav actually turns into a vowel, a shurik. And this is a very weird case where you have a verbal form ending with a shurik that's third person masculine singular. It's just a singular verb form. And the reason why there's a shurik on the end is because it's a middle vav form. Kind of strange. All right, that takes us up to verse 32. Dr. Seleska will be back next week, and he gets all the fun of the hacking to pieces stuff that goes on in verses 32 and following. And so I'll save that good stuff for him.